Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so confused and badly bruised, we have to ask, when will the traitors be brought to task? When do we stop talking and begin the perp walking? How much longer will we have to wait before we destroy the financial slave state? And the question that tickles all our brain cells, is Macron's wife a monsieur or a mademoiselle? Welcome back, martini heads. I raise my glass to you. It's lovely to see you all again. If you are joining us for the first time, be advised this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. We don't do woke. We know the agenda behind the fake vaccine poke. We are well-versed on all the deep state's agendas. We are spirit-centered free thinkers. We're American patriots. You know, if America forced a new world order, life on this planet will not It won't be worth living. It just won't be worth living. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to end my days in a bunker underneath the hot New Mexico sun, counting my poorly crimped reloads and eating spam out of a tin. It just sounds terrible. Well, what should we talk about today? Should we get on with the show? Well, before we get on with the show, let's take a few minutes to discuss current events. I don't know what you expect from this show. I think I'm going to put it under the entertainment category. We're sort of entertainment, spirituality, metaphysics, and odd things paranormal. But we are very, very much patriots. So we are going to talk about how our spirituality, or lack thereof, has created the world that we live in today. And the world I live in today is about 30 minutes south of Portland, Oregon. Portlandia Major. I've been here a couple of decades and counting, and it was once a lovely little city. It really was. But in my never humble opinion, it is now a shithole little city. If I'm honest, I used to go there a great deal, very often. I go out of my way not to go there now. So yesterday, Kristi Noem flew in, hopefully to arrest our governor, and to find out why she wants to protect cartels and their criminals. You know, people, isn't this a bit bizarre? I mean, we all knew it, those of us who were awake and aware and blah, blah, blah. We all knew it, but we have governors of states telling their police officers to stand down when federal troops are in danger, to offer no support whatsoever when federal troops are in distress, under attack while on duty. In the words of my favorite alien, what the bullshit is this? Is this an open declaration of war against America? I've dealt one way or another with uniformed peeps my entire life, and I have never known one unit to deny aid to another unit, the assumption being, of course, that we are on the same side. Well, it appears we have some blue states that want cartels in their neighborhoods. Do you know what a cartel is? Yes, drug traffickers, human traffickers, and the people who go recruiting from village to village in Central and South America, kidnapping young people in their version of a cartel internship recruitment drive, destroying families, destroying people's lives, and all for profit, nothing but profit. How much cash are the politicians? We know Mexico and that's a given. But how much cash are the American blue politicians and some rhinos receiving from the cartels? There's no other reason why they would be protecting the cartels. Nobody in their right mind protects murderers. We are at war with drug cartels, America. We are at war with drug cartels who run many governments in the world. Now, the common sense approach to such a problem is to find the enemy within our borders and destroy them utterly and irrevocably and in all locations and in all directions. And if necessary, and sometimes that is why people like me are recruited by governments behind the governments, if necessary, we destroy them through all dimensions. Please ask yourselves why blue governors are screaming to keep these people in their districts. Who in their right mind would openly call to keep murderers, traffickers, rapists, violent criminals, sexual predators, pedophiles, money launderers in their district? Politicians are elected to keep the people in their district safe. This is America. Our constitution is based on individual sovereignty and the rights of the individual. If your father came home one day and said, Look, I know you're my kids and all of that. And I know it's my sacred duty to care for you and to guide for you as best I can. After all, you are here because of a choice your mother and I made that night at the Seaside Hotel. But that aside, all of that aside, children, I think I'd like to let two gang bangers with a record of rape and grievous bodily harm take one of your rooms. And because we now have two extra mouths to feed, you'll have to start paying for your own school lunch, say, 3 days a week. And also, my beloved children, I suggest you start saving for college now because these gangbangers are going to bring others with them and that will further deplete family resources. And I might as well mention this now so that you're prepared. By the time your mother and I die, and it comes time for you to inherit the family estate, the gangbangers will have spent it all and trashed the house. I never thought I would see it in my lifetime. The exposure of deep state corruption to this extent. But I have to say, thanks to the dedication of the inner white hat circle and the devotion of their various teams and task forces, that day has come. If you are protesting ICE, deporting cartel trash, why? Are you a drug dealer or a hard drug user? Are you perhaps a complete clueless moron? We are trying to remove the scum of the earth from your neighborhood. Certain bought and paid for politicians have been paid big money to allow these people to take over and trash urban areas and create trafficking hubs. Those politicians don't give a fiddler's fart about your safety. They care about money jingling in their pockets. They care about the favors they receive, sexual and otherwise. They have been promised rank and power in the New World Order, which they won't get, by the way, because the Dark Ones may be the most despicable pieces of, whatever, ever to roam this planet. But they do have their own sense of honor. And humans who sell out other humans, well, they're kept happy for as long as they're useful, but after that, they are destroyed and disposed of without care or ceremony. And that's exactly what they deserve. People, you have to get your heads on straight. My darlings, you have to think straight. Our world really has been run by Luciferian pedophiles and their assorted sickos. So if you are one of those people who listens to one news channel and that channel only. Then you are chained to a wall in Plato's cave. Break free! Break free! Have the courage to expand your world. Reclaim your minds from the official narrative and start to think for yourselves. Ooh, that is a lovely drink. Moving on. If you really stand back and do some deep breathing, stop hyperventilating and screaming bullshit at the top of your lungs, you will see there are no more Democrats and there are no more Republicans. Let that dissolve, would you please, the red and the blue, the elephant and the donkey? We have basically two factions, New World Order, Luciferian cult, and their lunatic, communist, multi-oriented mutations of mankind, versus the people who believe in individual sovereignty as a cosmically ordained core value. In other words, we have the bought and paid for lunatics on one side, and the people who use logic to build a better world for their progeny, a better world for their progeny on the other side. And yes, I do concede we have many in the middle who are lost in the agenda wars, who have no idea what's going on, let alone how to deal with it. You know, not all MAGA people are aware and awake. Many of them still think they're Republicans, and many of them really are, but we've moved on from that. And not all Democrats are clueless liberal wannabes. The left, the extreme left, is being pushed further and further and further into the extreme. Blue governors have declared war on America. I'm pretty sure, even though it hasn't been officially announced, I'm pretty sure we are under the Insurrection Act, you know, officially declared or not. And how many Q drops have we seen over the last few years that say military is the only way? And this administration is doing everything to prove to us that, indeed, the rot is so deep that military is the only way. Well, we know what it means now. The rot was allowed to go too deep. This administration is putting out fires all day, every day, in their own camp and on foreign shores. And their dedication to duty, Lord, it's an inspiration, I would say, even to the archangel realm. Their devotion to bringing the light back onto this realm has not wavered, nor will it. And they conduct themselves with such confidence, don't they? The sort of confidence that says, either I'm a blithering idiot and this is all a delusion, or I happen to know that I've already won. I'm choosing to believe it's the latter. And I have a little message to the aging hippies standing on the streets of Portland with your guitars and handmade banners about no kings, etc. Surely you have lived long enough to have half a brain. You Grateful Dead generation, great band, by the way, I have no problem with them at all, but I have to ask you people, are you still smoking weed? Perhaps it's time to stop or switch to a gentler strain of sativa. We are literally trying to prevent the collapse of society into Luciferian chaos. Why would you stand against that? Are you mad? Were you born this silly? Or is it a skill you developed over time? Or perhaps you might want to take a look at an alternative point of view and see what all the fuss is about on our side. Well, my darlings, I guess that's enough pontificating from me for now. What do we have on today's show for you? Let's take a look. Well, we'll start as always with Quack. You know, questions, answers, and comments, the meat of our show. Then we have a tiny pat of poetry where I terrorize you, the listeners, with one of my original and oftentimes brilliant poems. And today I don't think it'll be a tiny pat. I think it'll be a couple of medium-sized poems. And after that, we move on to a segment I think I will rename Weird and Wacky American Paranormal Stuff. And we shall end, as we always do, with the cocktail du jour. And let me take this opportunity to take the first official official sip of today's drinky poo to see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. Hold on. I blended that. That is a very powerful, intoxicating cocktail. So I just had another sip. woohoo! Hello. Yeah, oh, you're going to love that. More about that towards the end of the show. Let's get on with the show and let's move on to Quack questions, answers, and comments. Darlings, if you would like to share the contents of your marvelous minds with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or use snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, US of A. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will be forced to refer to you as Omit Personal Details, or I might make up a really rude name. I don't know. It depends on what mood I'm in. Let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky. I'm going to shaky, shaky the bowl, shaky the bowl. I don't really need to shake the bowl too much. We didn't really have a lot of action this week, but, you know, I like the shaky, shaky song. So this first one is from Juanita. Hola, Juanita, who lives in San Diego. And Juanita says, we were told to pray without ceasing. Now you tell us about the golden key, as in God is not inattentive, so you pray one time and then let it go. Okay, Arnie, which one is it? a good question, and I've been asked this on many an occasion. It's the latter. It's the latter, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not how many times, and it's not what you say. It's the vibration that you emit. It is the latter, because you either trust in the Almighty or you don't. And the only thing in between that is an eternal gray zone of push me, pull you, where the brain goes ping pong into madness. Put all your efforts into alignment with all that is and save yourself the agony of unnecessary shadow work. When you're aligned, you are connected 24/7. You never have to waste time getting in the zone because you and the zone are one. And you could say, at a stretch, in that vibration of total alignment, in a fashion, you are praying without ceasing. But here's the magic. A prayer spoken in alignment is powerful and it will yield results. A prayer cried out in desperation to a seemingly judgmental God you perceive as of outside of yourself, that will bring nothing but frustration. We don't need a special place to talk to God. We don't really need a special time to talk with God. Align and represent God 24/7, because that is the goal of every incarnation, to realize our true nature and to use it to expand consciousness on our chosen realm. Self-realization is the only goal and the only way forward if illumination is after, you know, is what we're after. I don't know about you, but of course it's illumination. Why wouldn't we want illumination? Illuminate our souls, O Lord, and make our path before us clear. What else came in this week? This is from Siobhan, who I am sure lives somewhere, but she does not say. Dear Arnie, what happens to the food we leave out for the fairies? Do we just let it spoil, or can my pets eat it? It's not a particularly funny question, but it just made me laugh. I had this vision of your pets just standing by the fairy cake bowl and just going, oh, as soon as she turns her back. Siobhan, I don't think it would harm your pets if they ate it as long as it was still fresh. But the fey folk, they take all the nutritional value out of the food offerings. So your pets are eating empty shells of what once was food. You know, we offer food to the fairies not because they don't have their own. And by offering food to the fairies, we're doing more than that. We're actually honoring Mother Earth. We can't feed Mother Earth directly because she's a soul. So we give it to the fairies because the fairies are that much closer in alignment to Mother Earth. than humankind are. So what we do at our home is once a week we make, well, my partner does this actually, make a little fairy offering of some biscuits and candies and savouries, just little tiny little, it's like an amuse-bouche at one of those French restaurants, you know, a little fairy charcuterie board. And she also puts like a little bit of wine or in the summer, some cold beer, just to honour the fairies and to honour Mother Earth. And we present it to them formally, and then we just step back. And, you know, a few days later, you can throw it out. But I promise you that when you offer these things to the fairies, they come, they take it, and they're very, very grateful. So don't disrespect them by, you know, taking the gift back. The food is theirs. Let it rot, let it decompose, throw it away, give it to your pets. I mean, actually, I wouldn't give it to your pets, but, you know, my point is, It's a real thing you're doing. The fairies are real and they really do represent Mother Earth. Okay, Ani, move on. Move on because you're waffling. Okay. Here's one from somebody with the initial B from the UK. And that's as much ID as I am permitted to share. Ani. And B says, I don't want to harm anyone's business with this message. So we're redacting names and places. Fantastic. We'll do that. My husband and I were celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary by popping in the car and driving to a favourite famous sacred stone circle site. That's not easy to say. A favourite famous sacred stone circle site. After some nice communing with the lovely big old stones and sitting among favourite tree roots, we ambled into the hippie shop to look at crystals and knickknacks. I think I just gave away a location. But no, I didn't, because I didn't give away the main location. Anyway, she says she follows a sign, a very intriguing sign, into a back room and felt immediately zapped through her whole body. And it was a very horrible sensation, she says. The room, and this is probably why, the room was full of crystal skulls. Children's crystal heads and crystal alien heads, a very sharp and creepy energy, all these glass cases filled with crystal skulls. She said she and her husband both felt it and they decided to leave because it gave them the heebie-jeebies. So, you know, they questioned their choice, but they left as soon as they could. And she does say that the next morning she was having coffee and one of her cats came up for a cuddle. But then the cat looked over her shoulder, stopped in its tracks and ran away. So B thinks, I've got a Klingon. I mean, not a Klingon like, you know, in Star Trek, something clinging on, C-L-I-N-G-O-N. And she's sure it was those creepy skulls. So, you know, she used her tuning forks and she did all the things that she knows how to do. But she says, the thing is, when they were chiming, an answering chime rang out behind me. It was so loud, I was startled. She says, my inner agent Scully tells me it was just the guitar in the corner resonating with the tuning forks. My inner Fox Mulder knows that that's never happened before. So that's interesting. So you're doing the tuning forks to clear your energy and an answering chime rings out behind you, and it was loud enough to startle you. That's interesting. Well, look, if you felt those creepy, weepy feelings in the crystal skull room, then you picked up something in the crystal skull room, whether it was the crystal skulls themselves or something other people who are into creepy stuff left behind, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But clearly, yes, you had an add-on, a little Klingon in there. The tuning forks are interesting. If they were that loud and you weren't in an altered space and, you know, you don't sound to me like somebody who would be in an altered state. Perhaps that was just your healing guides, you know, confirming that they heard you and that you've been cleared. Stranger things have happened. Difficult to say, really, because the mind is such a complex thing, isn't it? And we process everything through the mind. And I cannot see through your eyes. I cannot feel through your body. But I would say, yes, something came home from you, with you, from that creepy place. And The answering chime was a confirmation that you have been healed. Woohoo! What fun. Thank you for that. Here's another one, an email that we received just yesterday, and this is from Josie, who lives in Cardiff, Wales, and that's in the UK. Dear Ani, I started my spiritual path exactly 1 year ago, and I must say it has been a trip. I feel so much more stable, more grounded, and also in touch with higher consciousness. This is my question. Every day, several times a day, the voice in my head says, I am scared. I am frightened. I am dying. Do you have any idea where this is coming from? As I mentioned previously, I am in a very good place and never been happier. Josie, that part of you that is frightened and dying is the false ego. It's the false ego programming. That's what dies when you are on a spiritual path. And that is the thing that will always try to self-sabotage you. So it's probably tried to sabotage you in many different ways and failed. So now it's trying to get you to believe that you're the one who's frightened, that you're the one who's scared. But really, all it is proof that you are walking in alignment and it's your ego that's dying. So when you hear that, pat it on the head, tell it to go to sleep and never come back. And well done. You're obviously making great progress there. Okay. Let's see. Should we take a couple more? I think we will. Let's see. What about this one? Not as if I have a lot of choice this week, actually. This is from Leo in Porterville, California. Dear Mad Shaman, will mankind ever reach a point in its evolution where we no longer have to incarnate? Ah, let me have a sip of my drink before I answer this one. Oh my golly, that's good. Leo, that's a yes, and it's also a no. Yes, because if you and your spirit peeps have decided that you have experienced all there is to experience in the current round of flavor my soul while I learn self-control, then after some further purification, you can rejoin the uncreated mass, which is another name for the energies floating around in source energy, the pool of potential in the islands of paradise. You see, you take your completed journey, your cumulative experience, and sweeten the islands of paradise with it. You know, we're all on this one big adventure, which started, as far as we know, with the Big Bang. And we all started out in the ether and as ether, and then we were made flesh and all that goes with being made flesh. And we adventure long and hard, and one day we realize that we're divine and therefore capable of so much more. So we begin the spiritual journey in earnest, and then one day we will awaken to find our cycle is complete. There is nothing more to learn for now. So we go home to source and sweeten the pot of eternal knowledge. And guess what? At some point in our future, we will create a new soul and we will start another adventure because we are creative beings. Our souls were forged by the Creator for adventure and co-creation. That's just what it's all about. Well, that's my version. Does anyone know anything for sure? Every so often, we have to stop and ask that. I mean, we tell one another stories. Some of those stories resonate and we take them as our own. Others don't, so we dismiss them. One last question from Quack before we move on to a tiny pat of poetry. This is from Carl of no fixed address, who asks, Arnie, you often talk of Ayn Rand and Bertrand Russell and Christopher Hitchens. Have you noticed that your favorite writers are atheists, and yet you say you are not? Can you explain? Probably. People are free to believe what they want. I'm more interested in the thought process that leads them to their conclusions. You know, in many ways, being an atheist is liberating. You don't have to jump through hoops to prove biblical events and so-called truths. As such, you are untethered. You are a cosmic free thinker. And I, who is not an atheist, am very much happier in the company of compassionate atheists than with people who believe Jesus is coming back and that he is the only way, because somewhere along the line, these Jesus people have forgotten all about God. Also, atheism, is it a thing? It's not a thing. I mean, and by that I mean it's not its own religion. It simply means give me hard evidence or your words count for nothing. Atheists are people too. People with a sense of ethics and honor, and they too have a moral compass. But they came to theirs through understanding natural law, not through indoctrination or scripture. You know, they have reclaimed their minds, and they are, in my opinion, in general, more aware and awake and willing to take chances, expanding consciousness in ways most religious people are unwilling to do due to the specific narrative running through their heads. I'm not an atheist, but I'm not a fan of religion. I say ad nauseam, it is a halfway house we should have all moved on from many moons ago. I do, however, adore my God in so much as I am in love with life, and I want to have the best possible incarnation and do my best for the people under my care. And when I finally shed this mortal coil, I'd like to go to a planet that resembles the Bahamas, with that lovely pink shimmery sand. I think that's the Bahamas, or is it Bermuda? I want to go to the one that has the pink shimmery sand. And there's a bar on the beach and an expert bartender that makes the most amazing tropical cocktails. I'll do whatever I have to do in this incarnation if I can spend my next heaven time on that planet. That's what I want. I want the heaven Bermuda Bahamas planet. I enjoy my life. I don't need anything other than just that knowing that I'm part of something greater. And the most of the atheists that I do speak with, because whoever wrote this, I can't remember, who was this who, hello, oh, this was Carl of No Fixed Address. You know, most of my friends are actually atheists, and they're free thinkers. I would describe them as intellectuals, and I love the fact that they don't have some sort of anchor that tethers them. They don't have to prove anything. And I don't find that they lack in love or empathy or compassion at all. Perhaps when we are self-realized, we will be so integrated in the Christ light that we actually can't see a difference. Perhaps that's what it means to have absolutely no duality. You are God and God is you, and you just go about your life. Anyway, a point to ponder. And that concludes Quack for today. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. Thank you, thank you. We started this show for you, the people, to learn what soothes and what disturbs the minds of the American people. Okay, a little sip of my drinky poo that I'm really feeling it now. Ooh. Oh, now, my darlings, it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo, and writing amazing, at times painfully ambiguous, non-peer-reviewed poetry, because, my darlings, my poetry is without peer. Because no professional poet would dare publish the weird shit I come up with, honestly and truly. A professional poet would look at my stuff and go, oh, those things don't go together. They do in my strange world. I have two little poems for you today, written recently. And of course, all of my crazy poetry is accessible on Substack. I think it's called Ani Avedisian's Substack. You won't have any trouble finding it. But if you do, go to my website, aniavedisian.com, and there is a link to the Substack on that left-hand bar that contains all the wisdom and knowledge of navigation. My first poem today is called The Diner on the Far Side of the Moon, the Oldest Lunar Greasy Spoon. Here we go. There's a diner on the far side of our moon. that's open to all Allied forces. They serve burgers so juicy they make one swoon with a side of most excellent sauces. The moon is a hub for ETs on leave. Being stuck on a ship must get boring. It's hard on the newbies. They feel deceived. They thought there would be more exploring. Space is so black. Where is the final frontier? The planets are few and so tiny. The diner allows space cadets to drink beer as it stops them from getting too whiny. I enjoyed that one. I hope you did too. And then this one is a little bit more serious, I suppose, as far as serious goes in my world. As we probably know by now, I started off as a British person. I'm an American now. So from time to time, my American friends just get really obsessed with my obsession with guns. Am I a firearms enthusiast? I don't know, perhaps. I definitely am a supporter of the Second Amendment of the entire Constitution. I do enjoy plinking. It's my major hobby is, I wouldn't say, am I an enthusiast? I don't know. But I don't have some sort of gun fetish. They're all in my safe, you know, and I take them out when I go to the range. So I wrote a little poem for my English friends because they're always going on about, you don't put a gun on, do you? And then just go to Safeway. Yes, I do. I never leave the house without my concealed carry. And they don't understand that, so I wrote this poem. And it's called, When My British Friends Ask Me Why I Have Guns. And I answer, because you can stick going to jail for posting memes up your bum. That's why. And here we go. I saw the writing on the wall. That's why I left King Alfred's Isle. That stiff upper lip should have been appalled as patriotism was slowly branded hostile. Yes, in the beginning it was subtle. Tired slogans of diversity barely worth noticing. They boiled us slowly to avoid rebuttal. Clever distractions prevented us focusing. It was all there in plain view, if slightly opaque. It's not as if they hid their agenda. A perpetual war of shake, quake, and ache created to force a surrender. What that means in practical terms for those who read only the headlines, the deep state gets its way or everything burns. Free speech gets you prison and fines. If a copper attempts to arrest me for memes and for posting my thoughts on all platforms, the last thing he'll see is God's golden beams. I may die, but I'll never conform. And you can argue with me for a year and a day, in schools, in libraries and bars. There is only one truth that holds any sway. Armed people do not board cattle cars. Take a look at the history of every population that has been disarmed. They were rounded up and butchered right after. Armenians, Jews, whatever, anybody who was disarmed. I say, if they don't grok it, we will glock it. Sovereign rights do not come from the government. We are Americans. Our rights come from natural law. And those sovereign rights shall not be infringed. And now, my darlings, I hope you enjoyed my poetry. If you didn't, gosh, what a boring 5 minutes that was for you. Let's move on to something in the paranormal world. You know, while I enjoy recording Metaphysical Martini every other Wednesday, and I really do, but it's a sideline. It's not my real job. I wish it was, but it's not. I specialize in performing and teaching spiritual property clearing. That's how I make my living, and I'm very good at it. Any type of property can be cleared, land, water, even in the darkness of space. I was asked to clear a satellite once because it was malfunctioning. To explain, I'm called upon to reset the energies of people and places when something has gone wrong and cannot be explained in any meaningful, logical way. At that point, the assumption is that it must be paranormal, something not obvious, something that cannot be seen with physical eyes. So today on Weird and Wacky American Stuff, I want to share a short story about a clearing I did a few years ago in the Pacific Northwest. Names and exact locations will be hidden for obvious reasons. I was called by the same owner to clear two properties in the same state, but about 50 miles apart. The first was a medium-sized homestead in a rural area, pretty big. And I was called for a general clearing because the owner's wife had passed under less than happy circumstances. The night before an actual clearing, it is my custom to pre-soak a property in golden light. This illuminates the area and lets me see clearly what issues are present. So the homestead looked okay for the most part, except one portion of the west garden. No worries, I thought. I will be there tomorrow and take care of it, whatever it is. But that same night, as I was sleeping, I had a vision. An impossibly beautiful, classic, Nordic-type human woman wearing a grey World War II trench coat came to me and said, "Be careful in there tomorrow. You might be caught unaware." And then she took me, astrally, of course, into the home's main living space, and she sat down on a large, rather funky orange sofa. And that's all she said. And of course, I paid attention, as I always do when people come to me in visions from presumably the other side. Okay, I thought, duly noted, thank you. I will be cautious tomorrow at the homestead. So I'm at the homestead now, in person, and the grief hit me the minute I entered the driveway. There was a general unease about the place, unsettled energy, and a very real undercurrent of terror. And for a moment, I thought to myself, oh shit, I wonder if the owner killed his wife. But I dismissed that quickly because my inner God voice said, no, that didn't happen. Upon entering the main house, I saw a large framed photograph of a woman hanging from the wall, the same Nordic beauty who came to me in a vision the night before. I looked around for the orange sofa. It wasn't there. I asked the owner, what happened to the orange sofa? And he seemed rather startled. I got rid of it, he said. Now, this was a fairly large property, so it took me a while to clear it. And by the time I got to the West Garden, my blood ran cold. I tried to make sense of what I saw. It looked like a jumble of walking, talking body parts, human. It seemed to me the body parts were trying to reassemble themselves, but could not figure out what went where and how. And I've seen some stuff, and I've seen worse, but this was horrible. The body parts, they moaned and they wept. Some screamed a high-pitched scream, and I realized these were all female voices. Something horrible happened to these women here or somewhere else, and their bodies were dumped here. However, when you witness souls in unbearable pain, you leave your sleuthing for later, right? And you get on with moving the compromise to heaven where they can get the care they need. So I did that because that's what I do. And once it was all said and done, and I had packed everything up, and everything was in the car, and I was ready to make a getaway, I asked the owner if he knew anything about the horrible scene I witnessed. And again, he seemed very surprised, but he had a knowing smile. He paused for a moment and he said, there was a man who lived across the way there, over yon. And once in a while, he would go into town and bring women back to the house and get them all liquored up. And after he did whatever he did, he cut them up and he fed them to his pigs. And that is what we were seeing in the West Garden. Very unpleasant. The second house. So I, of course, pre-soaked that one as well. And that was in an even more rural location, located by a very wide part of the river. One of those locations that movie people scout for, all dreamy and atmospheric and moody. Now, in my pre-soak and my, my pre-visit, the house seemed fine. I meant my pre-astral visit, right? But my attention was drawn to an area behind the home, behind the outbuildings, past a small clearing and into the trees. And I swear I could hear muttering there. And there was a dreadful smell of what could only be feet and armpits, very unpleasant odors. Okay, I thought, duly noted. We'll see what that is about tomorrow. And I wasn't even sure if that was actually part of the owner's property line or not. All right, so we've already done the first house I told you about. There was no danger of me being murdered. We're driving on to the second house now in real time. And the clearing was textbook, as they say. There was no weird stuff, no attacks from angry ghosts, no chopped up body parts. But even though the area by the clearing, which was in my vision the night before, was not actually part of his property, I learned, I asked if I might be allowed to visit it. And I was told no problems, so off I went to investigate. And the smell of feet and armpits, and oh my God, it was appalling the closer I got. And the closer I got, the stinkier it was. And then, lo and behold, I think I came across what can only be described as the remnants of an old ghost logging camp, complete with about two dozen unwashed and extremely aromatic ghosts, which I promptly moved on to their heavenly home. I love my job. You never know what you will encounter. And I wish more people would learn about energy. And I wish more people would learn the basics of how to clear property, because if your aura and your being itself turns into this sacred space, then it's just a normal extension of your being that you should learn how to clear property and to make the world a better place. Because, come on, people, civil war is about to break up. Anyway, if anyone's interested in learning this properly without spending thousands of dollars getting certified with certifications that mean nothing, if you just want to learn how to do the job honorably, ethically, and properly, give me a call. I love training people to do home and property clearing. Well, my darlings, oh my gosh, I think that's it for today. I have finished my drink, and that always means the end of the show. I do hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording, because I had a blast. I always do. I love hanging out with my martini heads. Today's a real life cocktail, wait for it, is a corker. It is called a zombie cocktail. Ooh, I went awfully London there, didn't I? It's a corker, isn't it? It's called a zombie cocktail. And, as we approach All Hallows' Eve, I think all of my cocktails will reflect the thinning of the veil. Here's how you make it. And let me warn you, it packs. Say, speak, honey, speak. It packs a punch. And you cannot drink more than one. You will be a zombie. And that is not recommended. Thank you for your attention to this matter. You will need 1 ounce of light rum, 1 ounce of gold rum, 1 ounce of 151 proof dark rum. That's 3 ounces of rum. 1 ounce of unsweetened pineapple juice, 1 ounce of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 1 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice, 1 ounce of passion fruit syrup. Yes, it must be passion fruit syrup. Half an ounce of simple syrup, one dash of just use Angostura bitters, and whatever you want for garnish. A fresh mint sprig is what is recommended. And here's how you do it. Gather all the ingredients except the 151 proof dark rum. Put everything in a cocktail shaker over cracked ice and shaky, 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 really good hard shake, and then strain and fill it, fill a highball glass with ice and strain the cocktail mixture into it, leaving just enough room to float that one ice of overproof rum on the top. And then you go ahead and you can do it on the back of a spoon, that way it'll stay floaty, floaty. And then you go ahead and you garnish it with a sprig of fresh mint or whatever the heck you want, because I am not a cocktail Nazi. It is delicious and it will knock out your socks. In fact, you could split this between two people. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top quality ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need, especially for this one. Shout out to MysticalWares.com for graciously arranging the intergalactic distribution of the show. Mystical Wares has a storefront in Mount Vernon, Washington. Online or on location, you will be sure to give them a standing ovation. And darlings, it's not too soon to go to their website, mysticalwares.com, and pick out your favorite metaphysical gifts for your favorite spiritual people. Who am I? I'm Ani, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Until we meet again. Do not comply with any globalist agendas. Drink in moderation and don't go on any benders. And above all, my darlings, whatever you do, let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com. Thank you.